Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the Writers Theater in Glencoe is about to celebrate its 25th anniversary, coming up here in a couple of years. And what better way to do that than to build itself a permanent space? It's like an early birthday present. Anyone who knows the Writers Theater knows that their last two spaces left much to be desired. So they put on their hard hats and got to the business of raising money to build a new $28 million complex. The building, designed by rock star architect Jeannie Gang, is getting high praise. With me in studio are the powerhouses that got it done. And anyone who knows theater knows that permanent spaces are not that easy to come by, let alone build from scratch. Michael Halberstam has been the artistic director of the Writers Theater since its inception back in 1992. Halberstam was just deemed the number one man in Chicago theater by New City. This was part of their top 50 list that they put out. And Michael was number one. How's that feel? That's crazy. All right. Also joining us, Kate LePuma, who is the executive director, and when she's not building new spaces, is also the chair of the League of Chicago Theaters Board of Directors. Great to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Wow. I mean, first of all, congratulations on building a new space. I kind of tongue-in-cheek say it's not easy to do, but it really isn't that easy to do. I mean, when you think of Chicago theater, it's a handful of people have been able to accomplish this feat.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience, actually. I mean, I sort of just focus in on our project. I felt like it was the right thing at the right time for the company. Our current space left a lot to be desired over at the Women's Club because the infrastructure was quite literally crumbling, and going into the restrooms was always a perilous experience, I think, particularly for the ladies upstairs. The bookstore was still, I think, a really unique place to put on a play, and I think I'll never lose that romantic sense of walking through all those wonderful books and going into this secret garden theater that would just magically appear behind. But definitely the infrastructure of the building did not support the caliber of the art.
Kate, how does it feel to get this accomplished, to see the doors open and know that Arcadia, play, is coming up here next month? How does it feel to have a new space?
It's probably been the most exciting and exhausting week of my life. I mean, to think back, for 7 days, we've actually had a grand gala opening and a ribbon cutting, and have welcomed now pretty much all our supporters, our subscribers are coming through. It's probably been one of the most rewarding experiences in my life. It's been incredible, actually.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of Writers Theater and think about what was, Michael, in your mind, starting this theater in Glencoe, what was the initial mission of the theater for what you wanted to do with it?
Well, the initial mission of the theater has stayed remarkably consistent, and I've been really proud about that. We initiated with an idea. A few artists got together and started to talk about what we thought the essence of theater was, and this was partly in response to 2 years that I spent as an actor up at the Stratford Festival in Canada. I really felt, particularly in the early 90s, so much of the emphasis of going to the theater turned into being about sets and costumes and concepts that were being laid over plays, and then actors being abandoned opening night to have to sort of carry the weight of this concept all the way through the run of a show, sort of like being left with egg all over their faces. I thought, well, what if we just scale it all back down to the word and the artist? What if we just hire great actors, do good plays, and then produce them in a way as minimally as possible to distract from the experience of the play and give the audience a really intimate engagement with the text? And that has not changed, I would say, in 23 years. I think it's grown and enhanced. We definitely work now with the highest caliber of designers, but the designers all know that they're in service of the actors in the play.
One thing about the Writers Theater, which has been throughout, you know, your almost 25 years in existence, is it's based in Glencoe, but it really has a now worldwide reputation, but it has a Chicago reputation, the way that every time you would hear, oh, what they're doing, the show up at Writers Theater, it's great, or 4 stars, Writers Theater, that kind of stuff. It just felt like it was less of what people might have thought to be a community theater and more of sort of like a powerhouse Chicago theater. Was that the intent?
Definitely. I mean, I love hearing you say that. It's interesting when you go to work every day in a small suburb with one shop, you know, and you start to get a little lost in terms of your sense of identity I really as being connected to the metropolitan area. So it's nice when you actually come down and actually hear people talking about the theater. To realize that you're not just serving on a local basis. I guess I would say that what we did at a certain point, I'm kidding. What we did at a certain point is that we tried to bypass the idea of being a suburban location and think of ourselves more as a regional theater. Mm-hmm. But that we obviously wanted to sustain the ecosystem of Chicago artists. And at the forefront of our mission, we could hardly be a company dedicated to the word and the actor if we weren't compensating our artists well.
Right.
So at the forefront of the mission from day one has been trying to put as much resources as we possibly could into compensation. So we were actually competing with, sometimes able to draw from, our downtown brothers and sisters in our early days because of where, how we placed our budget.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was all the, my actor friends saying, you know, I love the Writers' Theater. They pay.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the location has always been our greatest strength and also a great challenge for us. You know, a strength certainly in that there's this world-class, sophisticated, really, and I give the credit to Michael, you know, years of artistic excellence, this amazing theater that's not necessarily in a line with 15 other theaters, right? We kind of are able to stand on our own. The same time, we are not in the city. And so the work, I think, has to be that much better. And we have to bring in, as Michael said, a great caliber of actors so that people do pay attention to the company. And I think that's been true from the very beginning.
Now, you know, you just gave me that credit on the radio, on the air, right?
So, well, can we edit that out?
I think
all?
We can edit
that,
it out.
Can I have a retraction?
You have to live with that.
You can see Michael's head is getting bigger and bigger.
I'm telling you.
Okay, if I'm going to throw a compliment back to Kate, which I should.
Good.
One of the things that makes Kate the perfect executive director for this company is because she never fights me on that. She starts with her budgeting process at the center in terms of compensation. And when it comes down to looking after artists or finding a way to nurture their process, because again, you could pay them really well, and then if you treated them like crap, you still wouldn't have a reputation. But the fact that we put so much emphasis on making sure that the artists have a safe and creative place in which to work has a lot to do with how our business structure has evolved, and that has a lot to do with
Kate. Well, you know, moving to the idea of leaving the bookstore and moving towards a, you know, your own space, I mean, to take on that kind of challenge. There's a lot of pressure too. What was the pressure like with your relationship, you know, to as a business to say we're gonna you know what we need to do? We need a $28 million theater. I mean, yeah. That's not easy. Not only to, you know, go to your subscribers and say we need, you know, would you like to be involved in the capital to raise the capital to do this, but also just, you know, knowing it's a challenge. How did that play out with your guys' relationship?
Well, it's interesting because we never necessarily started with the number. It always started with the need. I think attributed to the success of the when we get to the money, the campaign, because our audiences were ready, our artists were ready, we were ready as an institution. We knew what we wanted to maintain in terms of the hallmarks of the organization, which was intimacy and sort of our relationship with the artist and our patrons. And so we started the whole process with what did we need as an institution to grow for our future. And so once we had that, which meant these two beautiful intimate spaces and the rest of the building, then we could take that out to people and say, this is the next step for the company. Can you come along for the ride? And I have to say at that point, the people that we wanted to talk to about, you know, providing some of that funding were ready to come along with us. And they were extremely generous.
Now, you'll notice she avoided your question, which was like, how did that play out in our relationship?
So anyway, Michael and I are now in therapy.
We had a trial separation.
We did.
But we think we're moving through it.
We're moving through it. Good. Do you guys usually butt heads? I mean, you don't. I mean, do you guys? I mean,
Once in a while.
I just think about it as like a small theater.
When I'm right and she's wrong, I mean,
I just let him pretend that he's right all the time, and it just solves everything.
You two are adorable.
It's true.
Let's take our show on the road, Kate.
Michael Halberstam, Kate LaPuma, in studio with me, Writer Studio. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what I'm getting at is like, you guys, I mean, the theater companies usually are a small business. And there is this relationship between sort of the executive director and the artistic director. We have to do this. We don't have the money for this. Mm-hmm. It's like that kind of, you know, and now you guys are making that transition into one of the big theater companies in Chicago. And I want to see what you think that looks like. We'll talk more here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guests in studio, Michael Halberstam and Kate LaPuma, both of the Writers Theater in Glencoe, celebrating a brand new space. This, I mean, it looks pretty. I haven't
gorgeous.
Stepped foot in it.
It's beautiful.
It looks great.
Trust us.
It looks great. Rockstar architect.
Even the pictures
Jeannie
don't
Gang.
Like, you know, do justice to the experience of standing in that theater. It is one of the most beautiful buildings.
Blair Kamen was on Chicago Tonight talking about how it adds a little bit to Glencoe. Mm-hmm. And when you think about building spaces anywhere in any place, you always think about what you can add to that community. And not only being a theater company that adds arts and culture and value to a community, but now you're adding aesthetics to the community. That's got to feel good too.
And I'll tell you something else. You know, in terms of the sort of second part, follow-up to one of your earlier questions, which is where I was saying I often felt like a little bit isolated from the Chicago metropolitan area, and sometimes being in a suburb felt like a negative. For this building project and how this building has emerged, being in a suburb was an absolute plus on every level, not the least of which because I think Jeannie is so specifically focused in terms of how she creates a building. Mm-hmm. She built the perfect building for Glencoe on that site. It is such a compliment to the environment. She works with materiality and environment. We work with the word and the artist. These are two sort of unifying principles that draw us together. And I think she really outdid herself. That, and I have to say that the Village of Glencoe was absolutely amazing in terms of how they work with us to help us get this through.
That's right.
A project of this scale in a suburban setting
Right. Really
shouldn't happen. But I think the determination of people like Lawrence Levin and Karen Thomas really are partly what pulled together.
I think it makes it's a testament to you because they could easily be like, go build a $26 million space somewhere else. There are other places we can't do it. We this is not that kind of town. But
we explored that option. I mean, we looked around at surrounding suburbs, and they made a very impassioned, clear, determined, and really articulate pitch as to why we should stay. And they made a very convincing case.
Let me ask you this. You know, one thing about I think of the argument about Millennium Park. When Millennium Park was built in the years after, there was a question about, yes, you can build a beautiful park, but how do you sustain that park for generations? How do you continue to have that be a bottom line or a line item in a budget where you need this much money to be able to have a park for everybody in Chicago? Talk about that feeling, about the idea that, yes, it's unbelievable to raise the capital to put this building together, but now the hard work starts. You have to live in it, and you have to pay for it for years to come. Talk about that experience and what that means for you as an artist.
I mean, again, the discipline of the team in terms of creating performers and projecting scenarios for challenges we might face in the future, I think all that was built into the business plan for the theater. From an artistic perspective, I feel like we've always been working in a theater like this. We've just never actually had the building to do it in. Does that make sense?
Right, totally.
So I feel like you'd walk into the bookstore where you can see a production that's playing right now, our last production in the bookstore, Marjorie Prime, fantastic play directed by Kimberly Senior, a beautiful production. It really, you could see a production of that caliber in any major city, in any major theater town, in any part of the world. It just happened to be nestled in this bookstore. So I feel like now we actually have the infrastructure around us to support us so that we'll be looking after our artists on a better level. The engagement with the audience will be more intimate.
Do you worry at all as an artistic director that has become a part of your spirit, your productions, the idea that it's in this bookstore, that there's this whole thing that's happening with the writers here. Do you worry about losing that when you move into a brand new space?
That's a super smart question. I think actually we built into the theater a sort of, for want of a better word, a lack of state of the art. Because I keep on to every time we try to put out a press release and somebody says state of the art theater. It's not a state of the art theater because state of the art to me means it's going to be falling apart in 2 years and everything that you put into it is now obsolete.
Right.
You know, look at, you get two new iPhones a year, for goodness sakes. It's like, how are you going to sustain a state of the art in a theater? What I really wanted was a room that we could grow and expand in, but that still had some obstacles in the way for us to overcome in order to be able to do the kind of plays that we wanted to do. From, you know, what is it? Mother is the necessity of invention? or is it necessity is the mother of invention?
Same idea, right?
Proof is in the pudding, that kind of thing.
That was like so Freudian.
I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
Mother is the necessity.
Story of my life.
I'm going to take that to therapy this week.
Oh, that's good.
Necessity is the mother of invention, which I think has been a watch cry for the theater company over the last, really over the full 23 years of its existence. You go see a production like Anne Frank, you think, how are they going to put Anne Frank in that space?
Right.
But somehow or other, Kimberly Senior manages to do it.
I mean, when we talk about this 96,000 square feet, that's what exactly we got rid of. All sort of those bells and whistles that we don't think eventually was going to add anything to the art beyond what Michael and his group of artists could really achieve from like, what we have.
Like so, a trap, you know, like a lot of theaters have a trap. So you'll see like a little square of wood move away and then a chair will come out of the trap. And like to build a basement for a theater was going to cost like $3 million. And I was like, so that you could get a chair to come out of the ground.
Right.
And I so there is a situation where you really have to get your set designers
you
get super creative.
Yeah, but now you can't have Janet Jackson concerts in there. So she has to rise from
we're
the...
We're going to fly her in.
Fly her in. Okay.
The roof opens up and then they come right in.
I love Janet.
I'm interested in your life when it comes to running a theater company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's not an easy life. And there's been times when I'm sure that's been ups and there's been times with the Writers Theater where it's been down. I mean, talk about that experience and what it means to you to be a lifer in this industry.
Are you trying to make me cry?
I'm not.
Is this like Barbara Walters?
This is exactly my cry moment.
Oh, my. I knew
I'm
this
following a format. Yeah.
I think one of the big challenges that you face when you really do dedicate yourself to an institution as its leader is you sort of have to put your own career on the side, because a career director really has to be directing a good number of projects a year in order to be able to create an identity, hone the craft. So at some point, I began to realize that as an artistic director, I had a greater responsibility to the whole of my institution than I did to my own selfish desires as an actor. And I had to figure out at a certain point how to blend the two so that it didn't eat me up. There was certainly a few years where I felt like I was working so hard to facilitate everybody else's vision as a director that I actually forgot about my own. And now I'm a little bit more self-preservationist in terms of the fact that I will make sure that the project that I am directing that year is the project that I really want to direct, not the project I think I should direct because everybody else got the cool project.
Because
when it comes down to it, you have to be excited to come to work every day. That said, once you can shift the perspective of your thinking, once I was able to shift the perspective of my own thinking and to realize that I can get just as much pleasure out of seeing other artists fulfill their visions, and we've had some amazing productions in our space. You know, if I think about our directors, Ron O.J. Parsons, Stuart Carden, Kimberly Senior, David Cromer, Kate Buckley, Bill Brown, you know, we have a really remarkable group of artists who come and fulfill their visions in our space, and I feel like I give them opportunities that they don't necessarily get at other places. I take an enormous amount of personal joy in that. So it's when you come up against these sort of destructive moments, maybe the darker moments, it's just a matter of re-envisioning them and then channeling them into a more creative and positive energy. Does that make sense?
That does. It's good advice for all artists in any form, any discipline. Kate LaPuma and Michael Halberstam are the executive director and artistic director of the Writers Theater in Glencoe with the brand new space. Arcadia is starting in March, and you're directing Arcadia, which is the
That's
new show.
That's great. We would start rehearsal tomorrow.
And Marjorie Prime's still on stage at the bookstore.
For another 4 or 5 weeks.
For another 4 or 5 weeks.
March 16th?
March 16th, yeah.
I think it's going to be a destination for all theater goers to get up to Glencoe and see the new space. For both of you, thanks for
Thank
coming
you.
In and spending some time with me
Thanks,
tonight.
Justin. It was great.
Appreciate it.